If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This message comes from Jackson. Taxes aren't something you can only think about once a year. With investments, planning for tax days year-round. Fortunately, Jackson offers tax-efficient products. Visit Jackson.com for more information on how our products can make your tax bill a little bit less painful. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
Missed calls, slow replies, messages scattered everywhere. If you're running a business, that's not just annoying. It's revenue slipping away. That's where Quo comes in, spelled Q-U-O. Quo is the number one rated business phone system on G2. One shared business number for calls and texts. Stop missing customers. Start capturing every opportunity. Try Quo free and get 20% off your first 6 months at quo.com/tech. That's quo.com/tech. Quo. No missed calls. No missed customers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Psych Legal Pop podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I am Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
And I'm Tess Brigham. I'm the therapist.
And we are here today to discuss Love is Blind, Season 10, Episodes 7, 8, and 9. And it's a jam-packed.
Oh, what a doozy.
Three episodes. It's really, there's a lot.
There's a lot. So, a lot hold going on. Before we start, because I want to, so prior to me watching these episodes, I was feeling a little bad. I was feeling guilty. I'm like, God, I shouldn't have said that whole thing about Chris and being in the Elfin division of Black Hawk Down. And oh God, you know, he can't help these things, but now I don't give a shit. Yeah. Now I do not care. He deserves every last bit of it. I mean, come on, we could see the guy was a bit of a villain to begin with, but now I don't give a flying fuck.
Yeah.
Chris. To quote Chris, I don't give a flying fuck. You are a hobbit, a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And you are so insecure. This is all about insecurity. It's all his own shit. It's so blatant. It's like you're not even, you can't even, your weaknesses, your traumas aren't even interesting. They're pretty basic, Chris.
No. And you know, yeah, he's an angry little man, an angry little elf. And
he's an angry little, you know,
I saw a meme online where they compared Chris to the Keebler elves.
Yes.
They could be twins. They could be twins. And unedited, they didn't do anything to the Keebler elf. It just as he appears on the package of cookies, that is Chris.
Yeah. Well, and there's also interesting because someone else found an old photo of him. I don't know if it's old or new of him on Instagram that looks that it's him, but he looks so different. Like his hair is longer and it's like, it's just, you can tell like, oh, this guy reinvents himself like every, you know, couple years. Like this, now we're in this whatever phase we're in.
The CrossFit era.
We're in the CrossFit Pilates era of high finance, you know, whatever. Before he looked like, you know, a poet or, you know, some right.
Wow. Yeah.
Alex can go fuck yourselves. Yes. Both of you.
He's
and take Devontae with you.
He's so angry. And oh my gosh. So have you ever listened to that podcast, Two Black Girls in a Rose?
No, but I have seen on, I've seen clips of them on TikTok. And I know they've been talking, I believe they've been talking a lot about Devontae.
Yeah. Right? Well, they're covering.
They're talking about everything.
Season.
Okay.
Yeah. They're covering the whole season, but they, cause they started out covering The Bachelor. That's what the Rose thing, but anyway, yeah, they're covering the season and they have the best names for people. So they call Devontae, they say he looks like a Care Bear. He also looks like one of those Haribo, you know, like the gummy bears, like that kind of a look. There's another one they had for him. But anyway, they call Alex and Ashley, Proud Boy Alex and Megyn Kelly.
Oh God, oh no. Oh no, I like Ashley. I don't think she's. And they, we don't know her political affiliation yet, do we? Or do we?
Excuse me, her dad was raving about Trump.
He was. When did he? Well, hold on. We'll get there because there was a moment. But I thought it was just a confirmation that Alex would have voted for Trump.
Oh no, the dad was a Trump supporter. That family is a Trump's. They're Trumpers.
Okay, I have to talk about the dad too because I have a lot of feelings about that.
Yeah, well, he's a whole nother issue. But anyway, yeah, they have, and they do the whole Chris. Oh, they call Chris. What is it? Oh my gosh, I wrote it down. It's something about a munchkin. The munchkin from the Land of Oz.
What are the, okay, Proud Boy for Alex.
Proud Boy Alex and Megyn Kelly.
What about Jordan?
I don't think they have like a moniker for him that at least that I've heard. I just listened to just the last episode that they did. And I've seen them on their clips online, but
yeah,
they're funny.
Yes. So yeah, we're at the phase where the bloom is off the rose. Mm-hmm. It's becoming clearer and clearer. We didn't do this last time, but at the end we will make our predictions of like who's going to make it to the altar, who's going to say yes, who's actually going to get married. We can talk about that at the end.
There's next week, there's two more episodes before the finale. So are they might start the weddings because 10 and 11 come out next week. I bet you they start the weddings in 11 because they have a lot of people.
Yeah, they do.
So they do. Yeah, right. I think it's too early to make a prediction. I need more information, but I probably could make a prediction actually at this point.
Yeah, but we'll one's going to hold you to these. Don't worry.
I don't. They're naive.
But also, hello, naive. A week ago, I was shipping all these couples. I mean, I'm the idiot who thought.
You're like, oh, everyone's so in love. Isn't this great? Everyone's so happy.
So listen, being wrong is part of this process. So nobody, listen, we're not wagering any money on it. So
you
have the right to be wrong.
Okay.
All right. So I have everything broken up by couples. So, and then I have at the end, we have the final like group event. So where do we want to start? Do we start with the easy people?
Well, I did this chronologically. So,
oh, you did. Okay. Well, where do you want to start then? You want to start with Brittany and Devontae? Because that's where we started. Yeah. And I was like, this is your moment, Devontae. This is it. Like she's giving you an out. I thought he was going to take it at the beginning of that. I was like, she's giving you this out. Like you could go.
Oh, you mean when they were still in Mexico?
When they were still in Mexico, she's upset. She's crying to producer. He's inside. He comes out. She's again says to him, I don't, you know, I think he should have left when he was grandfather passed. I don't think that you're ready for this. You know, she goes through all this again. He could have very easily walked away. And I'm like, why isn't he walking away?
Well, he wants the exposure. I think he wants to stay on the show. Cause yeah, he should have left when they said your grandfather passed away, and he didn't leave for that. So you know, why would he leave now? Just because he's not attracted to her? You know, it's like, I might as well just ride this out. I mean, yeah. And so she reveals that he hasn't talked to her in 2 days. That's what she says when, you know, I don't know if she said it to the producer or in it. I don't know, but she hasn't talked to him in 2 days. Like, I think they're getting ready to leave Mexico. Mm-hmm. And then she comes in and she has that tearful kind of, yeah. And he consoles her. And then all of a sudden they're back in Ohio and everything's fine.
They're in bed and talking about the relationship.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, we need to get to sleep. I mean, she told you she was willing to have sex. I mean, like, we're just dropping all that. Okay. Okay. It'll come back around, but the only thing we really, so we saw what happened in Mexico. Then we see them back in their new apartment in Columbus. Now, the other thing that I did is I looked at a map of Ohio. Would you like to know where all these places are? Because I didn't know. So Columbus, I was like, why did they pick Columbus? Columbus is in the middle of the state. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So did you know that Cincinnati is way down in like the far west, southwest quadrant, like at the very end? And then what's the other big city? Cleveland. Cleveland is almost to like Canada.
Oh. Well, Ohio's not that big of a state.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying they're at these pop.
Yeah.
Which and then is the I had capital? To look at Mount Vernon.
Which one's the capital?
I would say Columbus. Oh God, I don't know, Brooke. God damn it.
I mean, if you're gonna
No, I just like to look at maps. I have this weird thing with maps. Capital of Ohio, I don't know. Oh God, okay, this is gonna bug me.
I need to look it up. So
Columbus. It is Columbus, I think. Hold on. It's coming up, but I believe it is. Columbus, yes. Okay, so it's also the capital. And it's smack dab in the middle of the state.
But is it the largest city in Ohio?
I would think Cincinnati is. Because remember when that's how
Columbus.
Oh, it is?
Columbus is the largest city in Ohio by population with over 900,000 residents.
Oh, okay.
Within the city limits.
You know how when they started making, you know, when we started having all these state capitals, that's why the capital of Massachusetts, Springfield, and not Boston, right? They wanted to, so that's why
promote
I thought.
Other parts of the state or something.
Yeah, but yeah. So that's why I would think something like Cleveland or Cincinnati would be more popular. But listen, hey, Columbus, it's centrally located. This is why maybe it's just taken off.
Okay.
All right. So anyway.
Okay. So they're in, they get now, see, now I got to troll through my notes to find, we really need to talk about this stuff before we.
But we always do couples, don't we?
I don't
know. With this show.
I think we just do whatever.
All right.
Whatever we
do. Do you want me to talk?
So I have here, the next thing is that they go to meet her parents.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So, and then again, this was just, I mean, her family's lovely. They're a great group of people. I don't think we heard the mom talk at all.
Mm-mm.
They did not let this woman speak.
Well, so how do you know she's lovely?
Well, she seemed lovely. She seemed like a nice person. I don't know. I mean, you know, the dad was nice. So I'm going to lump her in with him.
This was bizarre to me.
Like, okay, so what did you think?
Why is this man so happy? I mean, he just can't wait to just turn her over to him. Like, he's just, you don't know this man. You don't know Devante. Mm-hmm. And he's just so effing happy. And I don't know. Maybe because they just all want her to get married, like, you know, the brother and the wife. You know, they're there and they're, I think they're all just like, come on, you know, it's been 10 years since you had a boyfriend, you know, you're not getting any younger and we want grandchildren. And, you know, it just felt so strange. I mean, you don't know anything about this guy, Devante, and trust me, and he does not come off well.
No, he doesn't. Devante is not exactly what you would call exciting. I mean, I think Care Bear is a good thing. He's like a Care Bear. Like, he's just there.
He's just like a big teddy bear, you know, he just...
That sits in the corner.
Yeah.
Which I think he would be happy so no one would talk to him.
He has no personality. Yeah,
no.
We've seen nothing from him. Nothing.
I can't tell you one thing about this. I mean, when he was talking, he apparently has 5 siblings. I was like, oh, you do? Maybe we learned that in the pods, but I didn't retain that. And that's all we know. And we have no mention of his family. Where is his... Is his family in Ohio? Are they going to come and be part of the show?
Well, and this is the thing. So isn't he the one? He doesn't know his dad at all, right? Like, he's never met his dad.
That's right. Is he the one that his dad met? It was so weird. Like, he never knew his dad, but his dad came to one of his football games.
Right.
But didn't introduce himself. And then the mom's like, do you know who that is?
That was your dad. Yeah.
This is the both of you. This is weird.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to guess that his mom is white and his dad is black. And that's why he has this aversion, apparently, to blackness. I mean, he is so underdeveloped as a man. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
You know, he has issues and never dated a woman of color. And it's like, okay, but you have siblings. You probably have some sisters who are women of color, or I don't know if you all have the same father. I don't know what's going on. That's the thing. His background is so vague, and he's so there's no there.
Yeah.
He has nothing to really offer.
Yeah. This is another thing that I realized about the state of Ohio. Well, last week I learned that they're real horny. The other thing that I learned was they don't believe in divorce. And this
nobody gets divorced in Ohio.
But this is one thing that people do that drives me bonkers, which is this whole thing of the dad's like, well, we're very devoted and we don't believe in divorce and we don't believe in this and we don't. It's like, no one believes in divorce. No one wants a divorce
when they first get married. No.
And quite frankly, the fact that I've been able to remain married as long as I have, because I know there is divorce. I want to know that I can be out at any time because it's a choice that you make. Like, this whole idea of, you know, saying to somebody, just simply saying to them, yeah, we don't believe in divorce. That's not going to keep someone married.
Right.
It's not going to keep them in it. That sentiment isn't working. You can, and you can say, this isn't what we do here. When you make something an absolute, like, it doesn't help people at all. So that's a lot of pressure. Certainly nothing our parents said to us.
No, they embraced the 70s, you know, everyone's divorced. And Brittany's standards for a man are so low. As long as he clears the microwave clock and folds laundry, that is a good man. And, you know, you don't say divorce about him. I mean,
oh, no.
How are you going to find someone who's going to clear the microwave clock every time? My God.
Yeah. No, lot of these women, I mean, again, they're focusing on the wrong things to be anal about.
Yeah. And Daryl, the dad, he's trying to press Devo, you know, he's very excited, but, you know, he tries to press him a little bit, but, you know, Devante's just like, oh yeah, no, it's all good. And then the dad's like, okay, well, I guess it's all good. It's like, this is, you guys, what? There's no critical thinking happening here.
Well, maybe Brittany already knows she's out and she told her family this. And the dad just is kind of a performer. I mean, the dad is very extroverted. The dad, I think, likes being on TV. So maybe he was just like, okay, well, let's do it. And I'll pretend. I don't know. I don't know what any of these people are thinking. I was watching this whole scene like, what am I missing? What's being cut out here? Like, not one of you is asking an a critical question or even questioning this guy.
No, it was there was nothing there.
And then the last scene with them that I have is, this is where they're sitting on the couch together. Mm-hmm. And she tells Devante how she feels like, you know, she's not sure he's attracted to her because every time he compliments her on her clothing or, right? Like, oh, mm-hmm. I like that shirt. I like that top. I like this pants, you know, whatever it is. He never compliments her, her appearance or her body, whatever. So, and then he says, well, I know I heard you say all that to me in Mexico, but I didn't want to just then start complimenting you because it would seem fake. It would seem, you know, I want it to be sincere. And I'm like, oh, okay. But there's a lot of time between Mexico and now. I feel like it's been several days here.
You could have
at the airport. You could have worked it in at the airport after you guys had the fight with the whole issue with the producers. That could have been a moment as you're going to the airport to compliment her. So, you know, he compliments her and it is kind, I mean, you're a little bit like, okay, you know,
well, I mean, he says he likes her pretty natural, soft, curly hair. Mm-hmm. He likes her height and her eyelashes and her smile. Okay, but that's all like superficial. And her height, mm-hmm. she has no control over that.
He likes her height because she's shorter than him. He likes her height because that's what, I bet you anything, he was fearful that he was going to be with someone who was the same height or taller.
Yeah.
Because he's not tall, right?
He doesn't look tall, but he's taller than her. So
That's why he likes the height. The eyelashes, I thought that was very weird. Do men notice eyelashes?
I don't know.
Do you think it's possible that Devante doesn't like women?
Oh. Maybe.
He's not attracted to women, I should say.
Repressed kind of, I don't know. I don't know why he's here. I just don't know why he's here.
Because even if he's not attracted to her, there's no sense of anything. Like he's very asexual.
Yeah.
So either he's asexual or there's something else going on. But I just find it hard to believe that really, like I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know why they casted him. I don't know what happened.
I don't know
what happened. I guess he interviews well, but
yes,
in real life, he's a dud.
Yeah, I give them zero chance.
Yes.
Here's the question. Are they even going to make it to the altar?
Oof.
That's what I'm wondering. I feel like in these next couple episodes, we're going to get some, like, I think Brittany's got to hit a wall. She's got to hit a wall.
Yeah, Brittany's not going to be humiliated. I mean, I don't know. Hard to say, but I feel like Devante will probably just go through with it just because look like a nice guy and then say he's not ready or something at the altar.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see her being the one to say no and him being like, phew, which I think maybe he's maybe that's what he's doing.
Yeah. Like maybe if I'm really cold to her, she'll just do it for me. And she'll
break up with me and then I won't look like the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's always at least one of these guys every season. All right. So anything else to say about them?
I don't think so. Well, we'll talk. I don't think much happens with them at the cocktail party, but we'll talk about that separately. Yeah.
Okay. Who's next on your list here?
Okay. Well, let's see. Who are some of the easier ones?
Well, Christine and Vic.
Well, yeah.
Okay. They're the only one that I have any faith in.
Yeah, they're the only ones who are going to end up getting married.
What are the two black girls, one rose? What's their nickname for Vic?
Oh, they don't have one. You know, they like him. They respect him. You know?
Oh, so you don't get a nickname if you're likable. Because I'm telling you, Vic is getting hotter and hotter for me. I mean, this guy is.
He seems too good to be true.
I know. I'm a little nervous about that, but he seems great.
Yeah.
I really like him.
Because, you know, he just is so calm and so so sure of himself. And it's like, you know, he he didn't have a, well, no one has an easy childhood, but you know, he, you know, he's seen some things and, you know, he's not from Ohio, you know, he's from Brooklyn. And, you know, can you imagine being a young Black man, you know, with in Brooklyn and, you know, the way that the police, you know, the way you're treated and no, he's seen some stuff and, but he's just so chill.
Yeah. Well, the, what was the other thing I was going to say about crappity crap crap? Oh, this was another thing that I can't remember. I think I was reading this in Vulture that one thing that, that they pointed out was that because the two of them didn't go to Mexico and that really, truly, if you watch, a lot of their scenes are filmed by them. Like when they go visit Christine's hometown, they're recording it. They're recording this other, this day, you know, showing the college, all of that. And there's a little bit, the theory is that, is this, is it better? Is it better to not have this camera crew following you in these early days? Is this better? Like what they were commenting on is it felt like it was more authentic. Mm-hmm. It felt more real. And I also think when you don't, when you have like a camera over here versus a cameraman and all these sound people, you can be a lot more, it's less performative. Mm-hmm. It's less pressure. So I don't know. And so I think, but they also, it just might be that they're two authentic people. And that's what we're just, getting as well.
Yeah. They're both just way more mature than these other people.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm kind of with Christine's mom when she asks Vic, like, what are you doing on this show?
Yes.
Like, you're
no, it's a good question. Yeah.
And because, and her as well. I mean, she doesn't seem to have, I mean, she doesn't, she's not stirring up shit, you know, like Bree and, you know, some of these other people. I don't know. So but, yeah, so they go to see Christine's mom. Well, first we get like a, I think this is first, we get a scene of them at the campus, at his, is it at his campus with when they're looking at the topiaries?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
I have kind of written down about scene. Visiting mom, but
okay.
We so, it all blends.
Yeah, they go to visit Christine's mom, Melody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is, you know, she's spoken about how her mom had some issues and, you know, wasn't fully healed or still had some healing to do, something to that effect. And,
is she, I'm sorry, is she the one that had to hide drugs from the cops?
Yeah.
Okay.
For her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess we're not, so I mean, the dad doesn't seem to be in the picture.
Yeah. So. I don't think that they have healed their relationship. And Christine's mom, God, she looks like she's been through it. I mean,
oh yeah.
She's probably my age or, you know, maybe a little bit older, a few years old. How old is Christine? 30? She's
30. So I mean,
so her mom, yeah, her mom is my,
she might be my age. I mean, yeah.
So she, it's like, wow. It's
hard living.
Okay. Hard living.
Living will do it to you, especially if you're a woman. Hard living. Oof. But she seemed very nice. She seemed to really like Vic. She thought he was hot too.
Yeah, that was an inappropriate comment to say, but okay. Yeah, and he says that, you know, he knew that Christine, she was such an, a great person and that she had to have come from, you know, a great person and, you know, that she raised her, Melody raised her to be that way. So he's very complimentary.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just so, again, he's just so loving and gentle and open and honest. And I don't know, what's not to like? What is not to like?
I know there is some, with the scenes for next week, there is a little bit of this rumbling, like, could there be? But I don't know if they're trying to make stuff up. You know what this reminds me of? It's like Brett and what's her name? Was her also named Brittany? Remember?
Brett and Tiffany?
Tiffany. Remember Brett and Tiffany? Like, they were both very normal, mature people, still together, by the way. And there was nothing. I mean, they were so straightforward and honest and kind. And Brett's big thing was his pants were too...
His pants
were wrong. See, even Brett knew. What about the pants?
Right. He knew the proper pant length, and yes, he was going to get them tailored properly. Yeah. And they made it this big deal. Like, Brett's upset on the wedding day. It's like, oh no. And it's like, yeah, he's upset because they didn't hem his pants right.
And so it becomes a whole thing.
Yeah. No, I think it's fake. It's fake.
There's yeah. It's no gotta problem. Be. Please don't do this to me. But they do have, I think, a very interesting conversation, which I don't think we've ever had maybe on Love is Blind before, where she asks about having a biracial child. Like, how do you, because they start talking about how they both want to have kids in a couple years. And, you know, they have a conversation about, like, because she's pretty straightforward. She says, you know, how do you feel about a white woman raising your black child, our black child? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was very, yeah. I thought it was an interesting conversation.
Well, she said something very insightful, I think, that, you know, her child is going to have an experience that she'll never be able to truly understand.
Yes.
Because it's not her experience.
Yes.
And just even understanding that and knowing that as a white person is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, children decide what their identity is. Children, you know, you get the child that you get, and they decide, you know, how they're going to identify. And so you can see that she will let her child be whoever they are and not try to, you know, pigeonhole them into anything. So I thought that was very insightful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they go to Hillsboro, which is where she's from, which is out in the country. And she shows him, I guess, had he never met a horse before? He had never encountered a horse, which I guess I could maybe believe if he grew up in Brooklyn. Like, and then, you know, he's got this PhD. He's 30. This, the other thing too, is I think it's very impressive that he's got this PhD by the time he's 33.
He's been going to school nonstop for years, and then, you know, got, you know, when you're a PhD, you kind of, and you're starting out, you kind of have to go wherever the jobs are. Yeah. So that's how he ended up in Ohio. And so he's been working, you know, he probably hasn't really even had any time to travel or do much, you know.
And that's why I think he went on the show. This is my assumption. I think he went on the show because he went to John Jay. I saw that. And then, I don't know where else he got his master's somewhere else. And then his PhD. I think he's been this PhD candidate. I think you don't have a ton of money. You kind of go where you need to go. You're working all the time. You're kind of figuring it all out. And I think that he finally got this job in Cleveland and like settled in, or in Columbus, and he settled in. And I think he looked up and was like, I want to meet somebody, but I'm not, you know, and he's not a creeper. He's not trying to meet his students.
Right.
So, he's like, thank where God. Can I, you know, and then someone saw his photo and then said, we should invite this guy on our show.
Well, he was probably recruited. Even Alex was recruited, because he talks about how he got, you know, contacted through LinkedIn. That seems to be how they recruit a lot of these people, because they want them to have a certain level of, you know, education, experience, whatever. So they go to LinkedIn and they look for hot people.
God, I just updated my photo on LinkedIn. No one's hitting me up.
Well, maybe you need to dial your age down a little.
I guess I seem 52 to these people. Yeah. And that's it. Do you have anything else to say about Christine and Vic? Like, even in the group event, they come to the group event, and it's like, even then,
there's nothing to talk about.
There's no drama.
They have no dog in the race with any of these people. They're probably just like, what? You did what? Like, what is going on? Okay.
All right. Okay. So
they didn't do their house reveals in this.
They don't have. Well, I think her house reveal, I guess, was taking them to Hillsboro. Maybe they did. I mean, it really seems like they just tell them to, you know, just put your iPhone on you at all times, and we'll figure out what we're going to take from it.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't do the whole thing where they go and reveal each other's apartments or whatever. So
I bet they're both so normal that it was like, oh, this is so boring. Let's watch Vic with a horse.
Nothing to see here. Oh, yeah.
Psych Legal Pop. We'll be back after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hi, I'm Darina, co-founder of Quo. If you run a business, you know the team that responds first wins the customer. You've probably opened your phone to a bunch of missed calls and no voicemails. Those are missed opportunities and exactly why we built Quo. Quo is the business phone system that helps your team handle every call and text right away. Join over 90,000 businesses that win more customers with Quo. Try Quo for free at quo.com/tech. That's quo.com/tech.
All right.
Okay. So should we go to, I guess the next people I have, well, this is a can of worms. So Bree and Connor.
All right.
We could do Bree and Connor or Alex and Ashley.
Okay. You want to go
Emma
there?
And Mike.
Let's do Emma and Mike. Well, and then we also have Amber and Jordan, and not much
happened.
I forgot
about them.
Do you want to do Amber and Jordan real quick?
Okay. Well, yeah. So first of all, it's weird. These style, everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people, they have these similar styles of houses that you don't see really in California. It's interesting. Like, I mean, these are big houses.
Yeah, they are really big.
They're big compared to like what you can get in a city in California. And they all kind of have the same floor plan. They all kind of look alike.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. I mean, a lot of these have like 3-4 bedrooms. So
yeah,
there's
some
these
of them.
Single people, you know, with the.
Well, I feel like the only person that had like a really nice house, very established, was Jessica. Everyone else seemed to have like just nice apartments.
Not Jordan. Amber's house was nice.
Yeah, sorry. Because we do see her place.
Yeah. So was Jordan had, he was in an apartment?
Yeah, he's. Yeah, no, I think his place, it's hard to tell if he owns the house.
No, he doesn't own it.
Okay, so then he's either renting it and it looks like it's a, because he has like a quote unquote man cave. So there is a basement.
I think it's a house.
But yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like a typical guy house. You know, not much is there.
Well, let's talk about how he had like 5 black bananas
on
the counter. And he had like cooked broccoli and cooked food that had been sitting there. Okay, this is the thing. If you're going, you know you're going to be gone for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You need to throw out everything that's in your refrigerator, take all the garbage out, to, you know, get the bananas off. I mean, that would be such a turnoff if I like walked into that.
The black bananas. What if he's doing banana bread?
You don't know. That's past banana bread. They're liquefied practically. And then all the stuff in the, isn't he like 30?
30 plus? Like 30 something. Yeah. No, he's in his 30s.
He should be better than this. Like, that was a real turnoff. And also, why is it, okay, these men, so like Connor lives in a pretty big place. Okay, why is it necessary to have both? Okay, first of all, you're a single guy.
Mm-hmm.
You also have your game room or your gaming. Why do you then also need a man cave? Isn't your entire house your man cave?
Yes.
I mean, isn't the point of a man cave like you've got a wife and some kids and you want to get away from them?
Mm-hmm.
So you need a space.
And as the wife, we have a man cave in our house. You also want all the shit. You want their Star Wars shit and all the video game stuff and the heavy metal stuff.
The records.
The records, all of that crapola. You want it. And the toys out of your house. So your house looks like a normal person lives here. And then you make them put all that shit in one spot and then they're happy. You know, you just put the.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did think that was interesting that all of these younger men who live alone, who are single, have these man caves.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I also think that there's that part of like, I guess you're a guy, you get a foosball table, you have a garage, and then you just shove stuff in there. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much planning went into these man caves. I just think it's like an overflow of crap. Yeah. And then I think this is, they set it up. So like, oh, when my friends come over, we'll all watch football here or I'll like play a game here. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, they went into Jordan's bathroom and he had the electric toothbrush with the toothpaste caked all around it.
No, I didn't notice that. Boy, you really picked up on a lot.
Because I was grossed out by these things.
I know. I'm a little bit, I'm messy Tessy. So I don't pay attention to these things so much. I did get an overall feeling of like, ugh. Yeah. I was like there. I'm like, there's no decor. There's no,
nothing. It's not sexy. It is not sexy. You know? No wonder you guys need help finding a mate. No woman is going to come over to Jordan's place and go, oh yeah, this is my man.
Now I'm rethinking so my hot. Life because Steve's room was full of toys. He had a Pez collection.
I know. I had been to that apartment and I was what a little was concerned, I thinking? To be honest. He had Pez collection. Yeah. Figurines, like in the boxes. You
yes.
Know,
oh yeah. Hanging
up on the walls. I know. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. No, it's really, and Steve was 33 when I met him. So
he and Jordan, they're just like on the same timeline.
But see, I think what happens with men is this. I think either, right, like they go in one or two directions. I think Steve, like once we moved in together, he sold all that stuff. He sold everything. That's how we paid for all our furniture. He sold everything. I think that like either, because I think either you're ready, like you're ready to let that go. And because you want mm-hmm. to be with this person enough that you're like, I'm going to do this, or you just never grow out of it, I guess. Mm. I don't know, but yeah, God, I'm so, rethinking a lot of my life here. What was I thinking? What was I thinking? It didn't freak me out at all.
It worked out for you. He got rid of the stuff. He stepped it up.
Yeah.
You know, it worked out, but it would make me nervous. Like, you know?
Yeah, that's why I'm telling you, marriage really is a crapshoot because it really could go anyway, people. It really could. Okay. So then we go see Amber's place, which is in Mount Vernon. So I needed to see where Mount Vernon
is. Okay, so how far is that?
Well, they say it's about an hour outside of the city. I mean, it looks like, you know, it looks like it's not a suburb, but that not a suburb layer around Columbus, but like the next outer layer around there. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it is. I mean, I'm sure it's the burbs. I'm sure it's, you know, quieter and the life is quieter mm-hmm. and all of those other things. And it sounds like she bought this house and she's been renovating it and redoing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, this Amber's very impressive, I have to say.
She said she bought it 7 years ago and her daughter's seven. So how was she able to, like, at 26 or whatever she was when she had her child, have her child buy a home, redo the home. I don't know. She's been doing a lot.
She has been. She really has.
Yeah, because she redid everything. She, you know, upgraded everything. And
it's really beautiful. I have to say, I really like it.
Yeah. And that dollhouse that she made for her daughter was so, I love dollhouses.
But the detail and the ability to do that, she must be so creative.
Yeah,
that was very impressive. I just think it's very impressive. Not only was she raising this girl by, you know, her daughter by herself, but to also be, right, a nurse all day long, coming home, taking care of your kid. And then in your mm-hmm. spare time, you're like sanding floors so right. that you can provide this beautiful home for your child. I mean, it's really, she's really, and she took Chris right out. So, I mean, she's the best. And she could probably take Chris.
And she's a good foot tall.
She's a good foot taller than him.
Yeah.
And she'll shave. And that's the other thing too. Amber does not care. She will shave your back. She will throw away those bananas.
Yeah. She's a nurse. She's seen so much shit, you know, like this is nothing to her. She's like, okay, are you bleeding? You know, like you're fine.
So, but I do think that Jordan's family is exactly who you would think they would be. Right? Mm-hmm. Like they all look alike. They all sound alike. They all talk alike. It's like, oh, you are all just a version of Jordan. They first meet Amber's brother who
looks like Jordan.
Yeah.
He looks just like him.
A little bit. Yeah.
Same kind of hair. Yeah.
But he wasn't pressing. He wasn't asking too many questions.
No.
Which is fine. I don't know if it's everybody's job to ask a million questions. But and then we meet Terry, who's Jordan's mom, Natalie, a sister, and Jolene, a sister. And yeah, I mean, it sounds like Jordan does say something at this dinner. He says that he met with Matt, who's Emma's dad, but he still hadn't met Emma yet. And one of the things is that, you know, I don't know where we are. Are we at week? We're, you know, we're 2 weeks away from the weddings or 2.5 weeks away from the wedding. It's a little bit like, I think he needs to meet her. You know, this needs to happen soon.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
And I understand. My guess would be is maybe Matt, the dad, was like, I need to meet him first, which I understand. Right. I'm with him on that. But there is a little bit of this, like, how much longer are they going to wait to do this? Because they do need to get to know each other. And that is a little scary. I mean, okay, maybe they meet a few times and it's nice and then you get married, but now he's your stepdad. I mean,
yeah, no, this is not ideal. I mean, she's trying to do it the best she can under the circumstances, but yeah, I think it will be very confusing. Seven is not that old.
No. And what I don't understand, this is what I want to know, and we've never heard from people. I want to know if any of these couples ever, like, say when the cameras are off, like, listen, let's pretend to break up and then we're going to date. Like, why can't, I understand the whole idea is the, you know, getting to the wedding and this big, but I'm surprised not more of these people are like, okay, let's kind of pretend, let's not do the wedding. We'll get there. We'll do that. But then let's keep dating or something. Let's keep, because I think that Jordan and Amber could work. They just need to date a bit more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is really tough. I'm trying to think if there's been a couple where someone had a kid that age where they, you know, got married.
I don't know if there is.
No. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be weird for the kids.
Okay. So we want to do, how about Emma and Mike or Bree and Connor?
Oh, let's do Emma and Mike.
Okay.
Okay. So you want to start with Mike's family?
Yeah. Well, we do see them unpacking. Did you see that whole scene where they're unpacking? And Mike is a bit of a neat freak. And he's like, well, yeah. I just unpack and then I finish unpacking and then you're done for the day. And Emma's just like, well, okay. Yeah. they're very opposite. Yeah. He has never lived with anyone before. You can already sense there's tension around cleaning and who's going to clean what. They're very different when it approach to cleaning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Emma has a dog, which is, you know, never heard about the dog before, did we? But you know, Mike, he's moisturizing. He's got a whole nighttime routine. And I wrote down, Mike really, 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 really wants kids. He really, really wants kids.
Yeah.
And this is a problem.
It really is. And you know, we said this from the beginning, they should not have chosen each other. He should not. Mm-hmm. have chosen her because she is not, here's a woman who basically is 27. She has her entire adult life had been unsure about having children. She is not going to change her mind in the next 3 weeks.
No, she's not.
She's not. Mm-mm. And Mike, you know, thought, oh, she'll change her mind. You know, we'll fall in love. It'll be great. And she'll just be so happy. She'll want to have my baby. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it doesn't work like that. And I just really hope that they do not get married.
I don't think it's going to happen.
They don't need to be married because, you know, she says later at the party, you know, she's feeling this pressure from him. And she's like, I don't want to have a kid until I do want to have a kid or something like that. And it's like, well, that might never happen.
Yeah.
It might never happen. And even Emma's family seems to know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a whole other thing. I think Mike's family knows too. Like everybody except for Mike and Emma, but I think especially Mike, I think Mike's more delusional than Emma. Oh, I feel like Emma is realizing like, oh crap, this isn't going to work. And I probably just picked him because I was rejected by Connor. And, you know, because I do wonder if if she hadn't had all that connection with Connor, and then all, you know, if she would have really gone to Mike. But I think the problem is, I think Mike's a really nice guy. I think he's a good, mm-hmm. decent human being. And I think she feels bad that she doesn't want to have his children, but she doesn't, and it's got nothing to do with him. It's just like, please, God, if anything in life, if you, child, like there's so many different things in life that you can get out of, but a child is not one of them. Like, you have got to know 150% mm-hmm. that you want a child. So,
yeah, I know. And, you know, so Mike has this Italian family and they're just flabbergasted when they.
Yeah. They were interesting to me. I was like, yeah, they were. I'm like, oh, okay. They're very new. I was like, are they New Yorkers? Did they move?
New Jersey.
Do they live there or do they live in Ohio? Or did they fly in?
That's
from
a good question.
Jersey? That's what I was a little confused about.
They said we're from New Jersey. So I'm thinking maybe they came in to meet her. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So the mom, Patty, and then the sister and brother, Matt and Callie. Anyway, they're right away just telling her, look, we're Italian. Like, you need to start having babies. You know, mm-hmm. His siblings need, you know, we need cousins to play with. The kids are all going to grow up together. That's another thing. What did they expect them to move to New Jersey too? I mean,
I don't know.
They seem to have very high expectations. But then the dad, Michael, he seemed at first, you know, shocked just like everybody else, but then he changed his tune and he was talking about how Emma was such a nice person and she'd be welcome in their family. And it's like, but you all just said that, you know, your lifestyle is mm-hmm. totally different from what
that I got was, I mean, the Patty mom went through a lot of emotions.
She flipped out.
She had a lot of feelings about gravy versus sauce. And then yeah.
We call it gravy and then we say coffee.
Yeah. But I feel like the dad, I really got where the dad was coming from. Cause I think the dad at first was a little bit like, oh, you don't want to have kids. They're asking questions. And then the minute Emma talks about being adopted herself mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. she talks about the surgeries, the dad, I think, took a step back and was like, oh, there's all, okay. This isn't about
there's
her.
A reason
like,
for this.
There's a bigger yeah. reason for this. This isn't just, she doesn't know yet. This is, there's something more going on. And I think that was the moment that he realized, oh, okay, this isn't what we say isn't going to make a difference. And so let's just be nice. Let's just welcome her to our home, into our family. Because I would say the same thing. I would just try to be nice and then be like, okay, Mike, you know, I don't think you should do this, but do what mm-hmm. you got to do.
Well, yeah, they probably figure they're either not going to get married because of this, or if they do, it's not going to last mm-hmm. because Mike feels so strongly about it. So,
yeah. And then the other scene is where we meet Emma's family, who I thought all of this was pretty fascinating because it's interesting because Emma's parents don't know. I think there's stuff that it felt to me like things were coming out that the parents never knew about. Like all this pain that we've heard about from Emma, the pain that she felt of feeling different as a child, the pain, like all of her pain. It doesn't seem like the parents had any idea at the severity of it. Mm-hmm. Is that just me that they seemed stunned?
Yeah, they did seem a little surprised. Because maybe she just always has said, I don't want to have kids. And they're like, okay, but they don't understand why, or they never.
Well, it also sounds like maybe she was, you know, they didn't, she at first the way in the pods, it made it seem like she was bullied and that she had a hard time. But then she says, no, I was never bullied. It wasn't that. I just always felt different. I always felt like I was different. But again, they seem to, it's like they intellectually understood that, but it sounds like she never verbally said that to them. I get the mm-hmm. sense that Emma keeps a lot to herself and that mm-hmm. they're learning a lot about her, you know, right now we're just learning a bunch of stuff about her.
Yeah.
Because I was just very surprised how surprised they were. I would have assumed, knowing how she talked about how close she is with her family, that they would have, that they understood or knew this, or her sisters did. Yes. And we meet her sisters, Hannah and Cora. And Hannah's got a lot to say about being a mom. And I hope her children never see this. this clip.
I know. I don't think she enjoys being a mom.
No, but I think she was saying the quiet part out loud. If it's not said a lot, mm-hmm. which is that, I don't think there's a parent around who does not realize once they have a child, oh crap, people told me this was going to be hard. I didn't know it was going to be this hard. I didn't know it was going to be this difficult. Like, nothing can prepare you for it. That's the problem. Nothing can prepare you for it. But I don't know if I would have gone as far to say, like, if I could do my life over again, I wouldn't pick this.
Yeah, that's really harsh. Oh, I do. Okay. I do hope that these kids never see this. Because she also said, "I know how much parents lose by having children,"
and she
really regrets a lot.
Yeah, and she's not wrong. Like, I think she's not wrong. I think she's really trying to get, she's doing the right thing in the sense that she is trying to get Emma to see, like, this isn't like getting a manicure. This isn't like getting a haircut,
a dog or a cat,
not even an animal. Like, this is not like getting mm-hmm. something that can easily be fixed. Like, this is huge. And so mm-hmm. don't do it if you don't know for sure. But
yeah, which is true, but it's like, but how long are you going to make Mike wait? And then if it doesn't happen, then Mike is what? Forced to choose between you and getting a divorce and, you know, mm-hmm. finding somebody else. I mean, this isn't fair to Mike. I mean, Mike is like, you know, he got this announcement in the mail that, you know, his friend is having a baby and, you know, you could tell that, I mean, he is just on this timeline, you know, mm-hmm. he wants to have children and he wants to have them very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And Emma is I don't like that she's doing this to him, and I don't like that he entertained her as a mm-hmm. match. I don't like any of this. It's just wrong. And
yeah.
She claims that she wouldn't have said yes if she wasn't open. And it's like, well, being open, what does that even mean? And being
yeah.
open and actually wanting to do it are two very different things. So, okay, Emma.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, Emma, if you know now, like, I don't think I'm going to get there. Yeah, like, you got to cut the cord. Because I think this is really about Emma telling him. I don't think he's going to go. Because he wants kids so badly. He's so desperate for her to change her mind. Mm-hmm. And so I think she knows she's not going to change her mind, or that she's not going to have an answer for him. And she does need to say goodbye.
Yeah.
So it looks like we do see Emma in a wedding dress at one point. So it does look like they make it to the altar, but my guess would be she says no.
I think
she says no.
I think he's going to say no.
Mm. Okay.
Or maybe they both say no. I don't know, but they're not going to get married.
Yeah. No, not going to happen. What do you think about, we didn't predict the other ones, what do you think about Jordan and Amber? Do you think they'll get married?
I think they will, as long as everything goes well with the daughter, you know, when he meets the daughter. I think they'll get married.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and who was the other one that we've... Oh, Vic and Christine.
Vic and Christine, yes, definitely.
Yes, okay. Did we cover anyone?
Brittany and Devante. God,
no.
I hope not.
Okay. That's them. All right. So let's get into the meaty stuff. So Bree, should we start with Bree and Connor? Or go Jessica?
Sure.
Okay.
God, Bree is so annoying. And even Connor said in Mexico when they were at the party with everybody, he told the guys, you know, yeah, I love Bree, but she never shuts the fuck up. And it's like, no, she doesn't.
Yeah.
She talks incessantly.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about stupid shit.
Mm-hmm.
What is interesting about her?
I don't know. You know, one thing that I think is, and I'm glad he did say something to her about how mean she was being. Because again, when we went to see Connor's place, okay, listen.
Yeah.
Listen, is it a winning place? No. Is it a place where a single man lives? Yes, but you don't need to rip. I mean, you can tease him a little bit, but she's like being relentlessly.
It's not that bad. She's like, oh, it's a frat house. And he's just like, I've never been in a frat, but, you know, I mean.
Well, yeah. Were there any bananas, dead bananas? No. It looked like he had just washed. He had washed and put some containers out. So,
yeah,
I think he's a little bit neater than Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. No, his bedroom, he had that one guest room where a junk room where he just sort of threw everything. But that's not his bedroom. His bedroom looked fine, although he had like a grandma, you know, bedroom set. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the bed was made and it was clean. There were not clothes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's fine. And she kept saying, you're just a boy. You're such a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not insulting at all. I mean, she's insufferable. I can't stand her.
This is one thing. Connor mentions this at the beginning of the I think this has got to be episode 7, where he talks about like why he's attracted to Bree. I don't know if he says this to someone else, but he says, I'm attracted to Bree because she's confident, she's strong, she's determined, and that motivates him. And what I wrote down was, this is what Connor wants for himself. Like, he doesn't want to be with Bree per se. I think he wants her a little bit of her energy, her confidence, her, her strong will, the determination, because Connor is a bit insecure. I mean, Connor, yeah. I think he's a lot more mellow and more laid back, but he definitely needs some to work on his self-esteem, and he's not very secure within himself, and he's very self-deprecating. And I think that he's attracted to her because he wants that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, but this isn't going to work long-term. Like, you just need to work on your, like, take what the best of Bree and run with it and don't look back.
He keeps talking about how he's just blue collar. And it's like, not that there's anything wrong with that, but no, you're not, Connor. Mm-hmm. You work for a dumpster company, but you work in the office you're the accounts manager, or he works in accounts, you know? So
he's a college graduate. Like I'm sorry, but like college is meant to be for these, right? He didn't go to trade school.
Right. He's not delivering the dumpsters and emptying them out. He is in the office doing the, you know, account management or whatever it is that he does. And so I don't know why he keeps saying that. And obviously he makes a good enough living to own his own home at age 32 or whatever he is. And, you know, justice for Connor. I really like Connor. I think Connor is the best of all the men on the show.
Maybe are you including like Vic?
Well, I'm kind of not including. I'm talking about like the mainstream.
Okay.
People, but he's, you know, he's one of the best. Like,
yes, he is. You know, he is one of the best.
He's definitely, you know, he's not an asshole. He's seems very like down to earth, and he's just a regular nice guy. And anyway,
and again, I don't think that, I don't think his you know, he shows her his gaming room where he, like, I guess works sometimes, and then he plays video games. It's like, she's ripping on that. It's like, I'm sorry, you cannot meet, I mean, very few men, all men I know play video games. It's, this is kind of like, this is what they do. What did you expect? Like, what were you expecting?
Men of a certain age, I guess. That's just how it is now.
But then we have this, he has a keg outside, man cave, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then we go to her apartment and her mom is there. and I'm always wary of these like mom-daughter BFFs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, my mom, we're BFFs. We're this. It's like these two.
And they're like cut from the same cloth. You know, they're just, you can tell that her mom is, it's like, my daughter's my best friend. And, you know, she's too involved in her life.
Yeah. Well, and also these people, they really like the word art. They love word art. You know, she had one of those little, did you see that? One of those little signs where you can write things like welcome, you know, and said, welcome Bree and Connor or whatever. I think the mom put that together.
Yeah.
These two. Oof. Jamie. And so, and then at one point they made Connor leave the room so they could talk about him.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find my notes on Bree's Bree's apartment. I can't even remember what it looked like. It was so boring.
Well, I mean, it's obviously it's very clean. It's very neat. It's decorated. Like it's a typical, female in her 30s apartment. Mm-hmm. And again, these are critical ages and the age differences really do matter. I think that once men and women turn 40, 45, I don't think age matters as much up until that point. It does, because I think Connor's like 30 and she's 33. And that is with men and women, that is different. Like she is in a different place in her life. And maturity and all of these things. He's closer to a 25-year-old than she is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's like a taskmaster and a control freak. And, you know, she's very caught up in this image, and like she has these visions in her head. She's talking about like going to football games in Michigan. And it's like this thing about Michigan that she has.
Yeah.
And Michigan and Minneapolis, what is their connection to Minneapolis?
Well, I think she lived in Minneapolis, and I guess he lived in Minneapolis, or he has family there. And then the other one was that like she went to Michigan and the family's also
From Michigan.
Oh, she's from Michigan.
And but did he go to Michigan?
No, I think he went to Ohio. But he's more of a Michigan fan, I guess, because there's some sort of family connection. But they keep talking, especially when they meet Connor's family, about like, oh my God, all these coinkydink things.
It's yeah.
Like, I feel like I hear a lot about Michigan versus Ohio. I feel like there's a little bit of this. It's like us being like, oh my God, do you believe we both lived in LA? Can you believe
it's meant to be?
They're from Fresno or they're from Bakersfield. And it's like, of course, like if you're from a place, you're going to have some connection to the entire area.
Yeah, she's really hung up on this. She just has this vision for her life and, you know, but then there's this mysterious dad in Michigan
that
they're going to go meet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that's going to go, because it's being really kind of, because she says later to Chris, you know, oh, we're going to Michigan to meet my dad. And then Chris, you know, that's his chance to jump in, and we'll talk about that. But
hello, everyone. You have reached the end of Love is Blind Part 1. So you should be able to access the other part. Should be in your feed shortly if it's not there now. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoy our podcast, please check out our Patreon. We do a weekly bonus. You get all these shows ad free. Plus we do a couple other things for our higher tier. Please write us a 5-star rating and review. Those really do help us. Follow us on social media. Spread the word, all that good stuff. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you in part 2.
This message comes from Jackson. Taxes aren't something you can only think about once a year. With investments, planning for tax days year round. Fortunately, Jackson offers tax-efficient products. Visit Jackson.com for more information on how our products can make your tax bill a little bit less painful. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, it's Christy.
And I'm Kelly.
You might remember us as the OG Partners in Crime from Dance Moms.
Well, this is Back to the Bar, the podcast where we drag out every insane, chaotic, and iconic moment from the show.
We're spilling the tea, calling out all the BS, and sharing stuff you definitely didn't see on TV.
New episodes drop every week, and yes, we're laughing through the drama.
For once. follow, grab a drink, and join us as we go back to the bar.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.